Somebody say fire! Shut fire! Shut fire!
You that saw the dead God, you saw the mighty God, he's the same yesterday, he's the same today, he's the same forever. When God says yes, no man can say no. God is on your side, miracle is on your side, glory is on your side.
The blind sees, lame walks, power release. This is the voice of fire, revealing Jesus, releasing destinies with Apostle Johnson Suleiman.
1 Corinthians 12, 1 Chronicles 12, 22. The first person who has found it should read out for me. 1 Chronicles 12, verse 22. Start again. For at that time, what happened? At that time, day by day, there came what? At that time, day by day, there came help unto David. It was like what? Like what? Great host. In other words, what the Bible was saying, let's break it down. David saw help when? And what was the help? Like a great host. In other words, it could not be humanly interpreted. God focused on him. That is why they said it was like a great host, because the writer was overwhelmed. In other words, this is too much. Have you seen things that happen and people say, this is God? It's unquantifiable. It's something that you cannot understand. But the first thing I like us to say, to pick out and pray, Lord, send me help day by day. There are people that only see help once a year. Once a year. Some see help once in several months. Lord, give me help day by day.
Open your mouth and say your prayer. Help! Yabaraka seba manabasha. Libo keteba labakaya. Labakaya barasaka. Lakoba kabaka. Help, help, help. Day by day I connect to help. Darabasha. Ibrakatagatagatagata. Ibrakatagata. Upon my life, upon my family, upon my ministry, upon my commission, upon everything that concerns me. From Monday to Tuesday to Wednesday to Thursday to Friday to Saturday to Sunday, from January to February to March to April to May to June to July to August to September to October to November to December, help from heaven, makabashaya, makabashaya, ikonoto, rakatetabaya, ikarabaya, makarana.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
And he said it was like a great host. Like a great host. Anywhere you see host, I've told us, is God coming by himself. Because he leads a troop. Hello? You see, the host of the Lord means God has come by himself leading a troop. As it were, God stepped down. Shone his light. The Bible says that the ark of God was captured by the Philistines. And David saw it as an assignment that he cannot be a king and be solid without bringing back the ark of God. So David went to the place of the Philistines to carry the ark of God. And the Bible says as the ark of God was moving, the ark of God stumbled on a new cart. And what happened? The ark was about to fall, and a man puts forth his hand to help the ark, to prevent the ark from falling. So number one, God cannot fall. God cannot fall. Number two, nobody can say, I helped God. Number three, Uzzah was not a Levite. He was not a priest. He was not in the order of those that should go near the ark at all. And the Bible says that God Almighty killed him. And a man called Obed-Edom. God, listen, God programmed it. Obed-Edom has been suffering. Obed-Edom has been going through pain. So, because the ark of God killed somebody, David was afraid. He said, I can't go close to this ark anymore. So, let the ark stay in the house of Obed-Edom. Anytime I see that man's name, I'm happy. Obed-Edom from Akwa Ibom. The man received the ark. And the Bible says, in 3 months, I prophesy, in the next 3 months, your story is going to change.
Amen. Amen.
Watch this. The Bible didn't say God blessed him. It said God blessed his household. Even the rats in the man's house had bank accounts. You didn't hear what I said? The man's rats had bank accounts. Even the cockroach in his house had investments. He said God blessed his household. The rats became fat because they were fat and flourishing. Everyone around you, you know what will happen in your life in the next 3 months. You shall become a blessing. 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 All that he had, we're blessed. 3 months. I give you 3 months. I'm prophetically speaking to someone's life. By the power of the Holy Spirit. In the next 90 days, everything about you is changing by fire. Receive it in the name of Jesus. 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 Kaparabaka satalabaha. But we are in love. Attention. When God gives a man attention, he gets out of detention. That was what happened when he gave Bartimaeus. Check anybody that Jesus gave attention. Check Bartimaeus. Anytime God gives a man attention, everything changes. If God can focus on you for just 1 second, he said, God remembered Noah and all that was in the ark. I remembered Noah. In other words, God gave Noah attention. Oh God, give me attention. Just look at me for 1 minute. Just let your eyes pass by me. For the eyes of the Lord runneth to and fro the earth to show himself mighty on the behalf of those whose heart is upright towards him. Lord, give me attention. I am tired of captivity. I am tired of carrying the same story. I am tired of expectation that never come to manifestation.
Jesus.
In the name of Jesus, the name of God. We are going to pray.
Lord, the light of your love is shining in the midst of the darkness. Jesus, light of the world, shine upon me.
Need to do anything to be hated. The number one offense, if you must be hated, is just have a destiny. If you have a destiny, naturally you attract haters. And haters are very important. They make your journey interesting. Haters are very necessary. They are very important. You know, how many of you, when you watch a movie, the lead, or what you call the actor, is the lead. Huh? He has the lead role. The movie is not interesting until he has a contemporary. And they call them bulls. Is it true? Actually, whether you like it or not, you have a mind. You have, when you watch the movie, you have a mind that this is the lead actor. But anytime he comes before his opponent, that's when the movie is interesting. Huh? So, without enemies, the journey of life is boring. So sometimes God plants them around, not to take you, not to kill you, but to make your journey spicy. Give me a testimony that will reply my haters. Give me a testimony that will reply.
Open your mouth and turn it to prayer. Turn it to prayer. Turn it to prayer.
Lord, give me a testimony that will reply my haters.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Take your seat. Take your seat. So briefly this morning in this service, I want to share on the benefits of redemption. Somebody shout, the benefits of redemption. The benefit of redemption. The biggest fool on the face of the earth is a man that does not know God. A fool say in his heart there is no God. If you are not a Christian, then your life is outdated. If you are not born again, you will suffer again. If you are not born again, then you are the biggest fool on planet earth. If you are still living a life without Christ, then your destiny is old fashioned. The place we went from said, he cried with a loud voice, saying, worthy is the Lamb to receive. Worthy is the Lamb to receive. Worthy is the Lamb to receive. In other words, once you are washed by the blood of Jesus, once you are born again, there are things that naturally you receive. The Lamb of God, the strength of the Lamb is that he died, he shed his blood. Every prophet who eradicated or spearheaded a religion or a movement, every one of them that died were casualties and victims of death. None of them died for their followers. None of them died for those that believed in them. It doesn't matter the name of the prophet. They died for themselves. Some of them were victims and casualties of war. Some were casualties of accident. Some died because of a protracted illness. But there is only one man who laid his life. He didn't die. He laid his life and took the life back again for your sake and for my sake. And as we accept and receive him, there are benefits that follow us. I professor, it will follow you from now.
Sit down.
Being born again is a plus to destiny.
Born again is a plus.
The era has come that people that don't go to church, that sit at home on a Sunday, or people who don't serve God, who still carry charms in their pocket, if the error has come that they should be ashamed of themselves. People that still tie charms on their waist, they should be ashamed of themselves. People that go into profession in business and they employ a diabolic means to see how they can levitate in progress, they should be ashamed of themselves. People that go into ventures and they have something they rely on, they should be ashamed of themselves. Even people that say they are pastors who have some things in their pocket, I hear stories all the time that there are people who carry the microphone and there are things that they put around them, they should be ashamed of themselves. Because the best life a man can live is the life where you know you are under the canopy of Yeshua HaMashiach, the one that laid the beams of his chambers on the water, that walks upon the wing of the wind as a chariot, is stretched for the heavens as a curtain, is a barrier between water and land, and the water should not return to land. Is the monarch of the universe, the ageless and dieless and weariless and faithless and timeless God, is the beginning and the end. Raise up your voice and shout hallelujah. Watch this now. Sit down. Watch this in this service. Watch this. Number one, redemption is not reduction. He said he was slain to receive. Redemption is not reduction. When you are born again, you are connected to addition. In Exodus chapter 3 verse 21, God told the people of Israel, he said, it shall come to pass in that day that when you shall walk out of Egypt, you will not live empty. You can't serve God and be empty handed. You are not saved to be enslaved. You are not redeemed to reduce. You are not saved to be empty. He said, when they come out of Egypt, and the Bible says when they got born again, watch me, when they got born again, or when they left Egypt as it were in the time of old, the Bible said they borrowed. I like the word. Now that was a problem of English. When the Bible said they borrowed, that was the writer's translation up at that time. Because the original Greek translation means they collected. Hello? The Bible said the translation there said they borrowed gold, silver from the Egyptians. It was not borrowed because they were laboring for 430 years without salary. So overnight they collected all they have labored for. But look at this. 430 years is different generations. Is that true? But the generation of those that collected their father's investment was different. Father labored and labored, died laboring. Grandfather labored, died laboring. Great grandfather labored, died laboring. Several generations, and it was a particular generation that came to collect all the father, the grandfather. I don't know how your father died. I don't know how your mother died. I don't know how your grandparents died. What they could not get in their time, God will add it to your original destiny and will walk into your future. I don't know how they expired, but what they could not get in their time, God will add it to your own destiny. Lift up your hands and shout hallelujah. Redemption is not reduction. The second thing I'll say before I go further, it says, and they cried with a loud voice. Anytime you see a loud voice in the Bible, it's a piece of attention. Let everybody hear it. Let everybody what? Cry! When Jesus got to the tomb of Lazarus, what did he do? Cry with it! Let everybody hear that this miracle is not hidden. This one is not hidden. In other words, Jesus was saying, when I turned water to wine, few people were there. But this resurrection of Lazarus must be public. He cried with a loud voice. When God spoke from heaven, he said, and there came a loud voice from heaven, this is my beloved son. In other words, God was saying, everybody hear it. Hear it. We don't have an argument in this thing. Hear it. So the Bible says, he cried with a loud voice, saying, worthy. Listen. He could only cry with a loud voice because the lamb received addition by the shedding of blood. Do you understand that? Because the lamb received 7 additions by the shedding of blood, so he cried with a loud voice. And God spoke very clearly to me. There is no honor in Christianity without benefits. What makes Christianity outstanding is the benefit that goes with it. So you can't brag about your salvation until you have something to show. You can't brag. You can't make a boast. But when you have a testimony, or you attend a church of testimonies, you are bold to talk about that church. When you attend the church, yet things happen, you are bold to talk about that church. When you are a person who has resolved, you enter the church and you bought a car, you built a house, you've gotten married, things are happening. You are braggy, you are bold, you are confident. Why? Because you have evidence, you have something to show for what you profess. Now I said this to you by reason of the benefits of redemption. Jehovah will give you a voice. I said my God will give you a voice. Number three, please just follow me. This is a preamble. To receive, the Lamb received 7 benefits, and as we receive him, this is number three, as we receive Jesus, we receive all he received. As you receive Jesus, all he received when he died and rose again is imputed into you. It enters into you. And that is why I know no man can kill me. Jesus laid down his life. It's a revelation. Watch this. Watch this. One day all the disciples of Jesus were standing, and Jesus was saying that there are some here who will not see death. Now listen. Jesus was talking, the disciples were standing, and all the multitude he was sharing were standing. He said, there are some here who will not see death. While he was saying that, Jesus had a disciple he loved so much, and that was called John. Why he loved John was John was always into him. When Jesus is sitting down, John will come and put his head on the shoulder. When Jesus is sitting down, John will come and put the hand around the waist. So he was like, he behaved like a child. He was always around. When Jesus is talking, he will come and put the head there. Jesus is sitting, he will rest the head on the laps. So the Bible called him the disciples whom Jesus loved. Jesus loved him because he didn't just love Jesus because of the miracles. He loved Jesus personally. Are you following me? And now this year he comes in. It's not about loving a man who is anointed because of the anointing. You love the man even without the anointing. Passion. So he had passion for Jesus. So the Bible said the guy was standing. And as soon as Jesus said, some here shall not see death. The guy was resting his head before. He now sat upright. Watch this. He was resting his head. When Jesus said, some here shall not see death, the guy now sat upright. So people now say, is he talking about him? They felt he was talking about this guy. No, but Jesus was talking to them. As soon as they said he's talking to the guy he personified it. He believed it. And he was the only disciple that did not die. Every other disciple had an history of death. Some were slain by the sword. Some were butchered. Some, they ran them over. But this guy, they put him, his name was John, they put him in hot oil, massive oil, so that he would be fried. He began to swim inside the oil. Hot oil. He was swimming inside. They said, this guy, you are the devil. And they carried him from inside that frying pan, and they dumped him in the thickest forest where you have animals. They called it the island of Patmos. As soon as he entered the island of Patmos, he turned it to a research center and sat down and began to write the book of Revelation. He was the only one that did not see death. Why? He personalized the revelation. If only you believe, no man can kill you. If only you believe, no one can terminate you. You don't serve a dead God, you serve a mighty God. He's the same yesterday, he's the same today, he's the same forever. When God says yes, no man can say no. When God lifts you up, no man can bring you down. God is on your side. God is on your side. God is on your side.
Sit down.
What is the first benefit of redemption? Power. Somebody shout power.
Hey.
Shout power. Power is a universal language. Is what? When you go to China, you may not understand Chin Chong, Chin Chin. When you go to nations of the earth, you may not understand and you can't communicate. But when you go with power, you communicate. When a miracle happens, even if you don't understand Igbo, you communicate. A miracle happens, the Igbo man, ewo! A sign happens, Yoruba man, ah! It happens, the Chinese man, change on the chon, chin chon, ni. Power is a universal language. If you carry power, anywhere you enter, they understand. I'm speaking to somebody now. I was to preach in a Francophone country. And I don't, you know, an interpreter, when somebody interprets for me, it slows me down. So they said they were to give me an interpreter. I said, how can I flow here? How can I flow? I need an interpreter. So somebody said, let us teach you the basics of French. So that at least you can just chip in something, the one you don't want the interpreter to say, you can say. And my crusade was in 4 days' time. How can I learn French in 4 days? Because the interpreter, interpreting for me was a major concern. I'm telling you, it was a concern to me. I said, I will now talk. The person will, how can I do that? So it was a concern to me. I was troubled. And somebody said, sir, you learn French. You know, we teach you French. Bonjour. Comment ça va? So I said, how can I? 4 days I'll be learning Le Vous, Le Va. In 4 days? And God spoke to me, said, son, you don't need to understand them. They will understand you. And when power came, they understood it. Am I speaking to somebody right now? When I started talking, I saw some of them in the crowd. Even as the guy was interpreting, somebody was interpreting for some other people. When power came, even the person interpreting, and the interpreted though, both of them understood that power is a language that is universal, a currency that is acceptable, is a major universal legal tender that everyone under. If you lack power, you die a victim. So at salvation, what entered you was what? Power! Number one, power belongs to God. Please, I'd like you to listen. Psalm 62 verse 11. Once God has spoken, twice have I heard it. That power. But watch this. Please watch this and don't misquote me. With the power of God in you, the devil is powerless. But without the power of God, the devil is powerful. Don't forget that. Never make a boast to challenge the devil when you are empty. I've seen people who out of zeal just got born again today, not loaded with the word of God, they go and destroy shrine and they run mad. Have you not seen that before? Why? Because they don't have the power of God in them. They attack powers, they attack satanic agents without the power of God in them. Satan is over 6,000 years old. So a man who is 6,000 is very experienced. You can't confront him in the flesh. You need to put on the uniform of Jesus, who is older, who created him. The rise is not to the swift, the battle is not to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of skill, nor favor to men of understanding, but time and chance happened to them all. You must add that understanding. The power belongs. I'm telling you now that power is the first benefit. But at salvation, watch this. At salvation, power, all these benefits were imputed into you at redemption. But they are dormant until they are activated. They lie fallow. They are just there. It's like somebody who has a key and is outside. The problem is not the key or the door. The problem is he doesn't know how to apply the key and turn the knob. Is that true? So they lie, they are inherent, but they are dormant. They are docile. Until they are activated. So power can be in a man and yet the man died. A brand new Jeep that cannot move is useless. A loaded AK-47, a general purpose machine gun, a pump action gun that cannot fire a shot is useless.
So power can be in a believer and nothing happen. So how can I make the power activated? How can I flow in power? Acts chapter 1 verse 8. And you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost. Tell somebody, get connected to the Holy Ghost.
If you don't have the Holy Ghost,
the Holy Ghost is the generator of the supernatural.
It's the powerhouse of God.
It's the powerhouse of God. You need power. Tell somebody, you need power. Okay, okay, okay. If you're an Englishman, say you need power. That's not sweet. Say power. Hallelujah. A woman, watch this, everybody. A woman was in a, she's not learned, she's not educated. She was in a marketplace. She would, you know, spread rice, beans, and the rest, grains outside and be selling. And it was that time of the year in her hometown where masquerades, you know, there are towns like that where masquerades come, people are running. And these masquerades were not just brutal and volatile or just wicked, they were diabolic. So it's not about just carrying the horse whip. They could pronounce things and they happen on the spot. So when they enter the market, they start kicking people's words, kicking their wares, kicking what they brought, scratching. Those who are wise enough or who are smart, pack their things, lock the shop, or run away. As they are kicking and, you know, screaming, they were coming to the woman's place. She's a believer, but she can't hear English. So they were coming. The woman said, hey, don't touch my rice. I pay my tithe. Don't touch my rice, I pay my tithe. Don't touch my beans, I pay my tithe. Don't touch my, I pay my tithe. Don't touch, I pay my tithe. Don't touch my things. And they're about to say, don't touch my things. I pay my tithe. I pay my tithe. And my pastor said, when I pay my tithe, God will rebuke all these yama yama, all these yaya things. He said, so don't touch it. Don't touch it. And they looked at her. The leader of the group, there were three of them that came. The leader of the group said to her, in 7 days, she will die. The woman laughed. He said, no problem. 7 days is too long. Me, I give you 3 days. If I die after my enemy dies, it means I live longer than my enemies. You do understand that? You do understand that? So, if you die in 3 days and I die 7 days, it means I live longer than you. And it means I won the fight. And when your enemy dies, please attend the burial. When they say, oh, that love him, come and drop stone, you look for block. See, we meet again, we won't meet again. Stay where you are, we won't meet. When they say, come and drop sand, carry a block. Am I speaking to somebody right now? The woman said, I pay my tithe, I pay my tithe. Don't touch it. The man laughed. They said, okay. They told those around, say, watch this woman, she's going to die. As they were going after the contest, one of those who boasted was knocked down by a vehicle and died. The next day, another one died. To make it the third day, the night before making the third day, the one that was remaining ran to the king of the town and knelt down. He said, Mama has killed all of us. Mama has killed all of us. And they summoned the woman. They said, what have you done? He said, Baba, I did come to their house. We were talking. They say I will die. So me, I said, okay, they will die. So Baba, please, this is not the matter for the traditional leaders and all. Leave us. And the man that was remaining pleaded, said, Baba, please. And the Baba said, the king said, what can be done? He said, well, he should give his life to Christ. When he become a Christian, I will beg Jesus.
Somebody have power!
Sit down. There was a herbalist. My wife and I were hearing a testimony about the herbalist. The herbalist was so diabolic that he would jump, you know, broken bottles. Those bottles that are destroyed. He'd be jumping on top. People will be looking at him, no bleeding. We'll finish, we'll show them his soul. So anything he tells them, they will believe. Broken bottles, he'll be jumping. Broken. So everybody was afraid. A young girl, anytime she goes for evangelism, people will leave her and go and gather and be watching the man jumping on broken bottle. So the girl was, how can I evangelize well? So he now asked, when is this man coming out? They say Saturday by 10. But by 8, people are gathered to check if those bottles are really broken. Nails. He will come and start walking on top of them. After that, he will now start, you know, selling his charms and all that to the people. So while it was 8, this girl got there by 9. People gather. She said, wait. Today, no jumping on broken bottle. No jumping on broken bottle. Today, no jumping on broken bottles. While she was preaching, they said, go and sit down. Which power do you have? Let Baba come. While the Baba was going, the guy said, Baba, today, no jumping on broken bottles. Oh. Jesus is Lord. No jumping on broken bottles. The man said, go and sit down. As soon as he put one step, the leg, chwa, chwa. Am I speaking to somebody right now? Somebody shout power. Oh. Blood began to flow from the man's leg. They said, ah. So all of them removed their attention from the man, put it on the girl. And the girl started, for God so loved the world that he gave his own. Ayagamaka Taba. Today, you shall manifest. Listen, when power comes, you have no choice. Power imposes its desire on you. Psalm chapter 110 and verse 3, for thy people shall be willing. He didn't say they may, he said they shall be willing. They have no choice. When power comes, you have no choice. You have to bow. Power imposes its desire on you. That shall be willing in the day. How can I get power? Tell somebody, get connected to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the power of God. In fact, without the Holy Ghost, you are not a believer. You are a deceiver. Acts chapter 19, verse 2. Paul met a group of Christians and asked them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? And they said, we don't know whether there is any Holy Ghost. And Paul said, then what do you call your salvation and your baptism? What do you call your salvation if you don't know the Holy Ghost? There are believers now who they've never spoken in tongues one day. Something is wrong. Some have been speaking in tongues. It has been one tongue since 1992. It has never improved. They only fast forward it now. Calabar. That's 92, Calabar. But now it's 2012. Calabar. It's still the same frequency, the same level. I was saying, they shall speak with new tongues. Tell somebody, change your tongues. As you pray more in the spirit, your tongues improve. Calabar, Kelebo. Improve. One guy was speaking in tongues. Afusa. So me, I shouted, Ibiaro, Iyebe, Ibiaro. He continued, Afusa. So me, I said, Ibiaro, Iyebe, Ibiaro. It's the same road. Hallelujah. Assess the power. So the Holy Spirit, now we are breaking it down. To assess power, you must know the Holy Spirit. To know the Holy Spirit, there are things you must do. Number one, desire him. Desire. For no man asked the Father for a bread and he gave him a stone. No one asked for a fish and he's given a serpent. So no man asked for the Holy Ghost. No man ask. Desire the Holy Ghost. Cry to God. Nobody laid hands on me for Holy Ghost baptism. I received him in my room. I was studying the Bible and I saw the Holy Ghost. I began to cry. For 6 days I didn't come out. I was saying, God, I need the Holy Spirit. I was studying the word of God. Lord, I need the next time I saw myself speaking in tongues. I released myself. People think the Holy Ghost will now come upon their mouths and open their tongue. Ta to ta ta. You are a joker. Release yourself. Holy Ghost came. Palabo Magaya. He came. Desire him. The second key to getting the Holy Spirit is to live a holy life. It's called Holy Spirit. It's for holy people. It's called what? It's for what? Holy people. Live a holy life. Kabali Gazaya. If you want the Holy Ghost, then you must be holy. When the Bible says your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, there's something, I don't know. Listen, I didn't want to talk about this, but I think I should talk about it. Because so many things are going on around. And lots of people have asked me questions, and I deliberately refused to talk about it because it was a statement made by a pastor. And it's not in my place to fight or speak against a pastor. I don't do that. But now many believers are getting confused. And somebody asked me a question yesterday. He said, Papa, somebody said masturbation is not a sin. And I said, I heard that before, but I don't want to talk about it. But he said, sir, you have to talk about it because it's going round.
And I said, what was the person's point? So the person said, it's a sin against the body. You heard the same thing? He says, it's a sin against the body, not a sin against God. And I said, they don't even know the Bible. Because 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 said, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which you have of God, for you are bought with a price. You are not your own. Therefore, glorify God in your body. A sin against your body is a sin against God. Why do we tell people not to smoke? Is there a place in the Bible that says don't smoke? We say don't smoke because as you smoke, you are killing your body. And as you are killing your body, God is angry. We tell sisters, dress well. Don't put on skimpy clothes. Any sister that is dressed and people see your lap, you are a sinner. You are a sinner. So look at somebody now. If you have seen the lap, tell the person you are a suspect. How can somebody be coming to church? Wear skimpy clothes, wear tight clothes, exposing your cuffs, and you are just walking like that, like let it. That's how you are going. Something is wrong with you. I told them yesterday, I said, your sexual genital organ is called private part, meaning it's only one person that is permitted to see it. And there are many people who are sleeping about. They don't have private parts anymore. What they have is local government area, secretariat. They have no private parts. Are you following what I'm talking about? They are carrying a local government area, a secretariat, a council hall. That's how they are carrying. People just come in, drop their proposal and go. Drop their LPO and go. Why? Because it's not private again. It is private. So you must have that understanding. It doesn't matter if it's a pastor that said that. The Bible says even if an angel appear and preach another gospel other than that which you have received, let him be accursed. It doesn't matter the pedestal, the hierarchy, where he's operating from. If he says it and it's not scriptural, then we have our right to condemn it. Hear me, even prophecy can be argued. The Bible says if there be a prophecy, the elders of the church should judge it. You can give a prophecy and we'll sit down and judge it from the Bible. Picking a man with a sinner and say, I see your way open. You shall go far. We say, sorry, sir. That's not what the Bible says. This man is a sinner. If he has no Christ, he can't go far. We can judge it from the Bible. He said, even if there's a prophecy, the elders, and some of us, by virtue of revelation, we are elders. Am I speaking to somebody? The elders of the church should judge. You come between and tell me, I see death. I say, what will I do not to that? He said, bring 300,000. I will judge it. Because you can't buy life. Because that's not the Bible. I can judge that prophecy. So somebody gives you that kind of prophecy. Buy this and buy that so you don't die. Tell the person, it is you that will die. Because the Bible says, with long life will I satisfy him. Oh, so am I God. Please. At the end of the service, give me a copy of this tape. I want to listen to it. I need this tape myself. I need it. Take your seat. You can't judge it. You must live holy. You must live holy. I need power. It's when the Holy Ghost came, the power came. It's when the power came, they were changed. He said, because I like what he says in Acts chapter 2. He said, the Holy Ghost sat on them. If God carried chair and sat on mortar man, somebody shout, Holy Ghost, sit on me. Say, Holy Ghost, sit on me.
Sit on me.
Say, Holy Ghost,
Holy Ghost,
sit on me.
Sit on me.
Shout power. Shout power.
Power.
Shout power.
Power.
Sit down. One time a group of politicians were sitting down. There were people they were representing their different constituencies. So you know the cadre of government I'm talking about. They were representing their constituencies and they were sitting down, about 40 of them, and myself and the pastor needed to address them. They invited us. About 5 of them who were believers called us to address them. But others were not believers. But because they are friends, everybody likes prayer. People like not just to pray, people like to receive prayer. So they heard their friends
we are going for prayer. So they said, we'll come and we'll receive prayer. The first man that came was talking. I discovered as he was talking, they were reading newspapers. The people in the representing their constituencies were reading newspapers. The guy was talking. Look, the guy was talking, I was writing. Because what he was saying was sound, was deep. They were reading papers. Only the guys who invited us were writing. They were reading paper. And God said to me, said, son, don't go there and talk. We didn't come with enticing words of man's wisdom, but with demonstration of the spirit and power. So they were reading papers. I came up the stage and I said, please, can we all stand? So they were wondering. I told them, I said, this guy has preached, so it's time for power demonstration. And they were looking at me. I said, see after me, Holy Spirit, only few of them were talking. So we opened their phone. And some others were confessing. And I started worshiping solo. You know the kind of worship, you're in the midst of crowd, but you're the only one singing. Everybody's looking, they are looking at they are looking at you like a performer, as if you're an artist. And I was singing solo. The next thing I had was pam, pam, pam. I opened my eyes, I saw people with their phone and their agbada falling with their face. One was shouting, fire, fire. He had a charm on the waist. Fire, fire. I said, remove your charm. Listen, in less than 5 minutes, everybody's head was correct. Everybody, if I say Jesus, Jesus, why? Because power came. Anywhere they refuse to listen to you, power, they will listen to you. I said, because of power, they will listen to you. If I told you to access the Holy Spirit, you must desire him, you must be holy, and you must spend time in prayer. You cannot flow in power, you can't flow in the Holy Ghost until you're a man that spends time. Luke 24:49. Tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power. Spend time. You want to start a business? Spend time in prayer. If you're a businessman, you have a shop or you have an investment, anything, don't just go out. Spend time consciously in prayer for that business. Sanctify it. Command the morning. That's what the Bible says. Command the morning. Prayerfully call the kind of people you want. Anyone that will give me trouble, don't come to my shop today. Anyone that will not buy and pay, creditors, next shop. I'm not available. Those that we underprice. Some people are just heartless. Somebody will carry something that's worth maybe 10,000. 10,000. Would you say 500? Just to anger you, just to make you angry. And you look at the person, you don't know how to start. See, just drop. I'm fasting. I won't answer you. Just drop and go. Am I talking to somebody right now? That is it. Power. Spend time. It's a tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued. Pay the price until the power come. Pay your dues before you are endued. If you are not endued, they will soon end you. Pay your dues. Psalm chapter 63 verse 2 of Proverbs 1 says, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee, for my soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth. Verse 2 says, to see thy power and thy glory, as I've seen in the sanctuary. My soul tested. So for power to flow, there must be a testing of the soul and a longing of the flesh. And that is where fasting comes. You can never manifest raw power without fasting. A testing of the soul and a longing of the flesh. One of the greatest challenges I knew I was going to have when God called me was food. I've told you before, I used to be fleshy and chubby. I used to wake up by 1 a.m. to eat. Just imagine the initiation. You must be a coven apprentice to be eating by 2 a.m. There are men that will wake up their wife by 4 a.m. and say, Pandiam. If you are that kind of man, I speak deliverance upon your life. Even I've seen women who are pregnant and their husband will wake them up by 4 a.m., 5 a.m. Pregnant. Are you following me?
pregnant. Have you discovered in 1970s or 80s when children are born up to 5 months, you don't use anything on their head, their hair is coily. But this day, the day you give birth to a child, the hair will stand like hair is starch. Because in the midst of pregnancy, the mother suffers. And the suffering, the child said the suffering. Am I speaking to somebody right now? 1 week, you see the hair, pam. You see, in those days when children are crying, it's very tender. When a child is born and is crying, the cry is very mature. The child is not crying, he's complaining. You say, ah, can you born this one? Am I speaking to somebody right now? Is this why a new baby?
I asked people who moved with me one time. I asked somebody who was my security man. I said, how long you spend today in prayer? He said, 30 minutes. And to him, he was happy. Spend time. You want to see power? Spend time. I remember there was a time I was studying 34 chapters a day, 8 hours in tongues. I remember when this ministry started, one time I called Pastor Austin, called some people, went in our house and we prayed for 24 hours stretch. Just praying. We forgot time. One time I prayed for 3 days. I didn't know which day it was, if it was Tuesday or Friday or Wednesday. I know I started on a Tuesday, but I didn't know the day it was. Prayed through the night, continued the next day. You say, Papa, were you praying about or rolling? No, there are times I will sit down, but I was still praying. There are times I will lie down, I was still praying. There are times I will walk about, I'm still praying. You cannot manifest like that and not carry power. Watch this. If you go to a bar or a clubhouse, hear people smoke and drink. When you sit down with them for a long while, the fumes, the smoke, the fumes that come out of the cigarettes will rub off on you if you stay there for long. And when you come out and meet a person who has not been in the bar, the person will say, you have been smoking. Is it true? You didn't smoke, but you have been around that atmosphere. When you stay around God for a long time, you